Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another, I hope, quick video. This is the video I do for our men's group and the various ministries that I am involved in that way. And I want to continue on from last time where we spoke, you might remember, we spoke of the beginning of our faith or the beginning of our journey where Peter met with Jesus. He said, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." But then some many years later, through that process of sanctification and the growing of our faith, we get to where Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And we are somewhere there in the middle. So today I want to continue that and look at some point there in the middle, looking at our faith. So we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 11, what's known as the gallery of faith. If you read through it and maybe haven't already, then you will see that it lists some of the giants, the patriarchs of the Jewish faith. These are the heroes of the Bible, Moses and Abraham and all of these people, Joshua, who did incredible things. And we talk about their faith and how their faith allowed God to do and God did things because of their faith. Before we begin, though, I do want to just kick off in verse 1. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, and we'll break it down. Every preacher in the world has talked on this verse, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But just to understand and make sure you do understand this foundation. Verse 1, chapter 11 of Hebrews. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I'm going to press pause right there and break it down. Faith is the substance. It's a tangible thing in that regard. It is the confident expectation that what we are hoping for will indeed come to pass, that we trust absolutely the evidence of things not yet seen. It is our hope. Now, in Romans chapter 8, I'll just quickly pull over here. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, Paul talks about our hope and how we don't hope in things that, well, you know, tangible things. I've got a mug just next to me here. And Paul writes in verse 24 of Romans 8, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Why does one hope for what he sees?" I can't in today's video go through the background of all of that. That'll be another time. But we don't hope. I know that this is a mug. I know that. And my hope is not that it's a mug. My hope is that it will hold the tea or the coffee that I put into it. Especially if there were a crack, then I'd have to have some hope after I maybe glued it back up, wouldn't I? But I have no need to hope in what he's already seen, because Hebrews 11, 1, it is the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Let's have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, expanding this moment just a little longer. "For while we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." So we're talking about seeing that which hasn't yet come to pass, which is what faith is. "For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And our hope in Christ, our faith to our eternal future, that's what this is referring to. Just over the page, we see that in 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. And this is part of that progress of moving from, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Somewhere we build and we begin in our faith and we start trusting in God for our future. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that's what made these elders, these patriarchs of the Jewish faith, stand out. Verse 2, "For by it," by faith, "the elders obtained a good testimony." And praise God for that, because we love to see their example. But the good testimony didn't come from their works. It didn't come from their words. It came from their faith. And just a few paragraphs up, verse 6 of chapter 11, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must," what? "First believe that he is." We have to believe that God is, yet he is invisible to us. "We must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, That's again another topic for another day, another video, diligently seeking the Lord. But we understand by faith that he is. That's that beginning part. And I got a note here. I think it's worthwhile reading because it brings it into context, talking about how it is impossible to please God without faith. Psalms 78. I'm going to read a couple of verses, 39, 40, and 41. Have a listen to this. It's referring to the people of Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, as Moses was leading them. For he, God, remembered that they were but flesh, the people, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Temporary. That's us. Temporary. He remembered how often they, the people of Israel, provoked him, God, in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How do we limit God? Can we limit God? Well, no. God will do what God will do, but we absolutely can limit what he will do with us, in us, through us, if we are not faithful, if we do not have faith. That's how this works in. Now, the children of Israel, they complained about everything. They got manna from heaven. They complained. They wanted some meat. They were coming up to the sea to cross over. It was closed. They complained. Why have you brought us here? We're just going to die. Moses went up on the mountain for 40 days. They complained. It took too long. They tempted him. They tempted him to anger. But he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that's what makes these people set apart. So important to remember. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, the worlds, the earth, the universe, and all in it, were not made of things which are visible. We believe it. I do. I believe that God spoke and said, "Let there be light." I believe in the Big Bang Theory too. God spoke and said, "Let there be light." Bang! There was light. I believe that the things that are now seen were made by things unseen, the Word of God. And this faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what it says. Someone once said to me, "Well, I wish I could hear God speaking to me." I said, "Read the Word." He said, "No, I want to hear." I said, "Read it out loud." Excuse me. Let's jump over. Verse 23, let's look at Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. They saw he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king's command. Now, very quick, Exodus chapter 2, chapter 1. The Pharaoh had said, "Kill all the babies. The Hebrews are too numerous. We need to reduce the population control. Let's kill the babies." But Moses' parents, they were faithful. They saw a beautiful child. They kept him for 3 months. This is Exodus chapter 2. Go read it. Great, great story. And then to save him being killed, they put him in a little basket, sent him down the river. And he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, at that time, Miriam, I think it was, followed and saw that Pharaoh's daughter had taken the basket with the baby and said, "Hey," she knew it was a Hebrew child, and said, "Hey, would you like a Hebrew woman to nurse him?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes." And so Miriam went and brought Moses' mother. That comes relevant because in a moment we read here that by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So I got the question. We have the faith of the parents. The parents disobeyed the command of the king because we too, Bible says we must follow and obey those who are in power and authority over us. But unless it contravenes with the word of God, and to kill your baby, well, that's definitely contravening the word of God, yeah? So Moses' parents were faithful, and Moses' mother then nursed him. Where did Moses' faith come from, I wonder? Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, which we know, we can guess from Scripture, was probably around age 40, perhaps. So he's more than of age, but he got to this point. Did he always know that he was a Hebrew child? I don't know. Did he always know of his God? I don't know. But he learned at some point and had faith. Now, there's also in Romans 12, great scripture, which says that we are each given a measure of faith, or the measure of faith, or different measures of faith, or just the measure of faith, depending on which translation you're reading. But we are given it. So from whatever knowledge Moses had of his past history and his people, God then increased that faith so that by faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we know that what happened soon afterwards was that he killed someone and went off into the wilderness. And that's, again, a story for another day, but by faith and, I'm sure, repentance, found grace and favor in the eyes of God. But my question is, where did his faith come from? My question is, why do some people have more faith than others? Well, because God gives it to them. And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I have a note just here. 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says, you know, ask the question, why are we all different? Well, we are all different because of what God has given us. I might just read it very quickly, actually. What makes you different from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Talking about from God. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not? This is boastful pride. And I see this so sadly in some people. Look at how faithful I am. I can pray and this will happen. Why do you boast as if you did not receive it, as if it were something actually from you? Why do you boast? And there are many scriptures that speak to such. We are not to boast in our gifts. Paul said, I boast in my weakness that Christ may be glorified. And we should do the same. But here we find that Moses refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Do you remember 2 Corinthians 4:18? The things which are seen are temporary. The things which are not seen, God's things, are eternal. So he refused to enjoy these temporary times of sin, which, living as a prince of Egypt, he certainly had access, easy access to. Verse 26, instead, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now, this is in both the language of the modern Jew speaking to Hebrews, the dispersia at this time, those who'd been dispersed around, using language that they would understand with Christ as well. Obviously, Moses didn't know Christ. But what we do know is that Moses considered even the worst of what God could offer better than the best of what the world could offer. Prince of Egypt, money and power and fame, all his, but considered being numbered among his people, and that, oh, they got a lot of reproach, absolutely, it's despised and spat upon. That's the Hebrews, and he considered that greater and better for the eternal reward. So verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's the key. People who see through faith see more than those who just look at this worldly existence and this worldly plane. They do. Because it is by faith that we see. And I'm talking faith, not I have a vision, I received a vision from God. Honestly, I am all often skeptical with such, because those in Scripture who received visions, very different to so many things in the modern vision, but by faith we can believe, I have a faith that the men's work that I do, it will grow and it will prosper. Not me, them and him, and bring others into the kingdom. I have faith that that will happen. It's why I'm recording this video for you right now. I have faith. It's not a vision. It's just what I believe God will do through his words that I'm having the opportunity to share to you. So by faith, verse 28, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Exodus 12, 14 shows us that God said, keep this, make it a memorial, do it again and again. So Moses went, yes. And by faith, he kept that. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as if by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Scary stuff. That's fearful faith. I'm going to die, but I have faith that God will keep these walls of water up and out of the way. I have faith. And that's just the beginning of his story. Now, let me wrap this up. That's part of Moses' story. But the people who were with him, a very, very different story. Did you know that? I mentioned, and they complained so often. He brought them to the sea. And with the Red Sea, before it was opened up as if dry land, and they complained, oh, why have you brought us here? Pharaoh's coming. He's going to kill us. They saw the miracle. They got through to the other side. Where are we going to eat? How are we going to survive? And they got the manna from heaven. We're tired of manna. We're tired. We want some meat. Then Moses went up onto the mountain. He's gone for so long. Oh, he's dead. Let's build a calf, an idol, worship our own God. There is a desire within ourselves. As we talk about and we, in a sense, preach the heroes of the Bible, these people from here, to put ourselves in their shoes. But the truth of the matter is this. Folks, we begin with, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. We hope to finish with, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Somewhere in the middle there, I've not yet met anyone who would fit the category of one of the heroes of the Bible. Chances are, we're not it either. We have to stop putting ourselves in the shoes of being the heroes of the Bible. We're not Joshua. We're not Abraham. We're not David. We're not facing Goliath. And if you are, you're in serious trouble, because your first stone will probably miss. But what we can learn from them is faithfulness. And we can understand that we are like the children of Israel, up and down, up and down, up and down. And as it said there in the Psalms, how often they provoked him and grieved him. How often do we provoke? How often do we grieve God? Despite this gift that we have inside, the Holy Spirit, which was sent from heaven, only possible through the death of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, our big brother, our Lord, our King. I thank God that I'm not one of the heroes of the Bible, because I remember my sinfulness, and for that I'm ever so grateful. And when I sin, I repent and I turn back to Christ and go, Father, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for my flesh. Help me, strengthen me, make me, mold me to become more like Christ. But God remembers that we are but flesh. He remembers that we are just a breath which passes away and does not come again in Psalm 78. He remembers that for you too. So I need you to remember it. I need you to remember your frailty and remember that Christ in you is what enables you to overcome. Scripture talks of that so many times. Let me just wrap up with this thought. But remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So here's my one takeaway for you today. I want you to just, you believe that God is good. You believe that he formed the worlds from his word. Good. So start believing for a little more. Not with pride, not with human ego. Believe that he will make you more like his son. You do your part. Your part will never be good enough, though. Understand this. Our righteousness is but filthy rags before the Lord. But to become more like Christ, that's not how our righteousness comes. It comes from Christ, through the infilling and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. That's how it comes. But you do your part. Try not to continually grieve him by sinning. Try not to continually bring God to wrath by sinning. And I know your sins now go. The Lord took them for us. I know. But as Paul said, we shouldn't continue to sin. No. God forbid. So my encouragement to you is step out in faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word also says, build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There are things that you can do to increase your faith. Do them. And then step out. All right, folks, thank you very much. God bless. I'll be praying for you, I promise. I always do. I make in my prayers all the time. Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend, whatever it may be. And I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.